Right, open your Bibles, if you would please, to the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, and read a portion of Scripture with me. Most of you here at least, have heard me on many occasions use John 8:32, where Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, he said this according to the scriptures, it said to those Jews that believed on him, he said to them, "If you'll continue in my teaching, then you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But now there were other people there of the Jews that answered him and said, "We're not slaves to anyone. We are Abraham's seed." Now, they put a lot of stock into being the seed or descendants of Abraham. Now, Jesus talks on with them a little farther here. And I want to begin reading in verse 37. Jesus said, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham? Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceedeth forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Now, I want you to notice in particular this last verse, verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceedeth forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Now, my subject this morning is the greatest test of our Christianity is loving Jesus. He said, if you are of God, or if God is your Father, then you will love me. Now, this is a statement made by the Master himself. A lot of people, though, have trouble in their hearts determining what this means to love God or to love Jesus. Now, we as Americans, and I've told most of you this before, we have one word for love, and that's all we have. And so everything is put in the same category. Whether it's love toward animals or friends or wife or husband or children or, yes, even God. We don't distinguish love in any way. But as I explained to the Sunday school class, when we realize that the Word of God says God is love, then we can get a true definition of what love is. For you see, God is a merciful God. And if He is love, then love is mercy. But He is also a just God. So if He's love, God is, if He is love, then love is justice. Everything that God is love. Now, when we break it down to a simple term, then we must express the fact that love is doing that which is right. For that's what God does. If He is love and He does the right thing, then love is doing right. Now, there's a lot of aspects of love, but now just keep in mind, if you would, as we go through this message, Jesus said, if God is your Father, then you will do right by me. You'll do right by me. You'll love me. Now, the order of salvation is the quickening of the Spirit. That must come first. God in the Spirit must make us alive, for dead people can do nothing. If we are dead in trespasses and sin, as far as spiritual life is concerned, then we have no ability to do right until God makes us alive. As a result of this making us alive, we have a change of heart that comes as a gift from God. For He says, old things pass away, and behold, all becomes new. And then, when our heart is changed through the quickening of the Spirit, then we, as human beings, believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We can trust Him. Now, we may have believed that He was the Christ. We may have believed that Jesus was the Son of God because someone told us that, and because we believed what they said, or we may have read it in the Bible. But now that we have been made alive, we can not only know that He is the Son of God, not only believe that Jesus is the Christ, but can believe that He died for us and trust in Him that He has taken our sins away from us. Now, through this process then, comes to us a renewed heart that loves the Lord for what He's done. and whom we have believed in. We can love him. We have believed that he's our Savior. We have believed that he died for us. He became our substitute. He took our sin. He set us free from our sins and gave us the promise of eternal life with him. And because of this, we love him. That is, we come to a place that we want to do right by him. Now, it would not be preaching the gospel if I should go out here and say to people that are evidently unregenerated, it would not be preaching the gospel to say to them, love Jesus. For you see, the preaching of the gospel is proclaiming what Christ has done. We cannot love God until we know him. So it would be useless for me to go out here proclaiming to people to love the Lord without first proclaiming to them that to believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the gospel. That is the good news. And as Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is the preaching of the gospel. But then believing in Christ is a trustfulness that Christ has died in your place and forgiven you of your sins. And when you come to that point, then we can say to you, love the Lord. And that evidence of loving the Lord is the great test of your Christianity. If you are a son of God, you do love the Father. That's evident. The Bible tells us that we love the Father if we are his child. But also, it is an established rule, according to the Word of God, that he that loveth him that begat, loveth also him that is begotten. In other words, if we love God, which we do if we're saved, then it is an established rule by the Word of God that we will love the Son, and also we will love other people that are children of God. So these things we know. Therefore, true faith is the evidence of our sonship. And sonship is attained with love. By this, you can judge your faith this morning. This love and faith is evidenced by our actions. You may say in your heart, well, I know that I am a child of God because I have felt the Spirit. But remember, let me remind you that God tells us to try the spirits. You see, there's more than one spirit, isn't it? He said, try the spirits and see if they be of God. Now, no spirit will lead you that is of God. The Spirit of God will not lead you not to love Jesus. But on the contrary, it will lead you to love him. So if we cannot do right by Christ, if we cannot do the things that we're supposed to do by Christ, then we don't even know if we have the right spirit. It may be the wrong spirit. There are several ways that is given in the scripture to aid in our assurance and security as a child of God. John tells us in his writings of the epistles, he tells us that there is a way that brings forth strong evidence that we are children of God, and he says it is because we keep his commandments. But you see, even though we desire to keep the commandments of God, we know that in the flesh we fall short of this. So we need other things to help assure us. And so John tells us another one. He says, also you may know that you have eternal life if you love the brethren. That is, if you love the fellow Christians. If you enjoy coming to God's house and fellowshipping with God's people, assembling with them in worship, if you enjoy out in everyday life being around God's people rather than ungodly people, if you'd rather go and have tea or coffee or a meal with somebody that is a Christian rather than go with someone that you have to put up with abusive language and things of this nature. This, John says, we can know we have eternal life if we love the brethren. But then, there's some brethren that seem to be kind of hard to love, isn't it? So, still, there comes doubts in our minds. And so the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, we can know that we have eternal life because his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. But again, as I mentioned before, the scripture tells us to be careful concerning the spirits. For there's more spirits bouncing around in the world than God's spirit is in our presence. There is the spirit of Satan and all of the fallen angels and the world system and all of this. So we need to try these spirits. If a spirit tells you that you're a child of God because you did thus and so and this and that, then try that spirit, because you see, the way we try the spirits is by the word of God. Because the spirit of God never goes contrary to God's word. God does not go against his own word. So we have to try them. So all of these leaves us with some doubt. But now, what Jesus said, there's no doubt about that. If you love the Father, then you will love me. So if God is your Father, you will and do love Jesus. Now, first of all, love to Christ is essential in salvation. There are some graces in which a person may be deficient. You see, there's a lot of things that it tells us in the scripture, and we don't all measure up to every one of them. Not that we couldn't, but it is that we do not. Because God, in saving us, has given us the graces that he has promised to man. So, but we may come up deficient in some of these. What a terrible state it is, of course, to be deficient in any grace. It leaves us for the worst part. But to be deficient of the one grace of loving Jesus Christ would be the most terrible of them all. For without this, there's no possibility of us being God's child. We meet people that have lost their sight. They're blind as far as the physical world is concerned. We meet those that have lost their hearing, and even some that have lost their taste. Now, I'd hate to lose my sight or my hearing, but it might be good for my figure to lose some of my taste. But nevertheless, these people that have lost sight or hearing or any other of these things, it's only for a short time. For only is there a short time that we're going to be in this world. But the greatest disability of all is no love for Jesus. For that goes not only through time, but also through eternity. The others will disappear, but that will never disappear and will end in defeat and death to the eternal soul. It's always also a sign of degradation in us not to love Christ. Now, if you don't know what degradation is, it means total depravity. If this is not sufficient, has no meaning to you, it means that your heart loves sin instead of God. If we have not the love of Christ in our heart, then we love sin instead of the Lord. We love our condition. There's no desire in our heart to change. We could care less about heaven or hell, with maybe the exception that we have heard that hell is horrible, and we want to escape that, so we might try using it for a fire escape, but it won't really change us except to change what we have said, maybe. We are no more than a mere animal. Now, you see, scientists put humans and all animals together. And I think probably maybe rightfully so when people are in an unregenerate condition. But nevertheless, they classify as animals. Now, the reason they do this is because an animal follows his nature. Follows his nature. He does what his nature is and has him to do. A dog barks because he's a dog, not to get to be a dog, but because he is. Every animal does certain things and has certain characteristics because they are what they are. So a person that is not born of the Spirit of God follows what their nature is. And so the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 and verse 3, I believe it is, that we were, before we were saved, we were by nature children of wrath. That is, by the natural order, we were not children of God. So we follow what that natural order is. Now, the natural order of that person that's not born of God is going to be who their father is. Jesus said to these people, you do what your father has showed you to do. Now, he was referring to Satan or Lucifer. They proclaimed to him that God was their father. No, he said, for if God was your father, you would love me. You do what your father gave to you to do. So we, as children of wrath, do as our fathers. Do as the one, the father of us, which was Satan, when he tempted Eve and Adam to sin in the Garden of Eden. He became their father because he is the father of sin. He is the father of lies. And he caused them to become that. And so he is their father. So we follow that nature. Now, last of all, love to Christ is a test of whether or not we're truly God's children. Certain modern teachers have asserted that God is the father of all mankind and that we are all brothers. Now, this is not true. For if God was the father of all mankind, then all mankind would love Jesus. Now, I agree that God is the creator of all mankind. But he ceased to be the father, for we as descendants of Adam and Eve took on their nature and not the nature of God. So he is not the father of all mankind. He is merely the creator of all kind. The unregenerate man is the son of God is false. Any such statement is not true. For if God were their father, they would be his children and love the Savior. God has said in his word, to as many as received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, if they were already the sons of God, why would it need to be given that position? But no, it is based upon our love to Christ. It is based upon us receiving Christ. It is based upon the fact that we believe in Jesus. We have trusted in him as our Savior. And as a result, we love Christ as our Savior. We were not always this way, for it's noted, as I mentioned a moment ago in Ephesians 2, that we were by nature children of wrath. It appears from our text that love to Christ is the only infallible test of our sonship to God. The Jews to whom Christ was speaking, if anyone had a right to proclaim that they were children of God because of being descendants from a certain person. If anyone could proclaim this, they could. For it is true that Abraham was a chosen of God. So if anybody could proclaim their sonship because of their bloodline, it would be the Jews. But Jesus said to them, I know you're Abraham's seed, but God is not your father. So it does not come, sonship does not come because of where we descended from. We do not become sons of God or children of God because our mother and father profess Christ as their Savior. We do not become children of God because we were kept in God's house in Sunday school or church all of our lives. This has nothing to do with it. Becoming a son of God has something to do with what God has done for you. And to know it has to do with your attitude toward Jesus, that is love. Every person loves that which is like themselves. They love to be with those that are like them. You see, there's an old cliche. Birds together, or birds of a feather, flock together. That is, you don't see a blackbird and a jaybird fellowshipping. And I'm not talking about racism. I'm talking about nature. I'm talking about what's inside. Now, you may see them fighting. You may see them tolerating one another. You may see them eating in the same cornfield, but you'll not see them fellowshipping, for they don't do it. They fellowship with those of their own kind. And so that also is true for the Christian. He fellowships with his own kind. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't go to the grocery store with others or the gas station with others or even neighborly to other people. But when it comes to the desire of being together, fellowshipping, and a close relationship, then we want to be with our own kind. And so this kind of tells us just what we really are. So, if we're born of God, we'll love God. We'll love Jesus. We'll want to be a symbol where the presence of God is felt. You see, all through the ages, God has told us that there is a special place that he would meet with his people. To the people of the Old Testament, he told them in the tabernacle as they journeyed through the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land. Then after they got into the promised land, he told them he would fellowship with them in the temple. It was built by Solomon. And then when Jesus Christ came, he established the church. And he promised to fellowship with us in the church. He said, "Where there are two or more gathered together in my name, assembled together in a place to worship the Lord," he said, "I will be with you." Now, that doesn't mean that he isn't with us every day. It means that he is with us in our hearts everywhere we go, every day of our life. But he said, if you gather together in assembly, I will be there present in a special way with you. So, if we don't desire to come to God's house and fellowship with Jesus, there's a deficiency in us. If we don't want to gather because God's people are here, there's a deficiency in us. if we don't want our social life to be with Christian people, there's a deficiency in us. And our actions show very little love toward those we don't want to be with. Remember the rule. If you love him that begat, you will also love them that are begotten of him. So if you love God, you'll love Jesus. And you'll also love the other people that are born again from above. Let us stand.